Amen. Well, I don't know about in your house, but there is now a phrase that has been repeated over and over and over again, and that's because of these wonderful things we call the Santa Ana winds, and that is, of course, the phrase, God bless you. In fact, it's really funny. Heather usually wakes up and she's throwing, like, sneezes, like, 5, 6, because usually it's 3. And then we always tell her after the 3rd one, there's no more blessing. We're just going to let whatever happens to you is whatever's going to happen to you. Is anyone else? Are you allergy people? Do you sneeze a lot? Okay. Oh my. Yeah. Well, good. Well, God bless you. It is also used in other ways, right? That phrase, God bless you. Sometimes it's used in a really nice way. Like, you know, someone's done something and you're like, oh, thank you. God bless you. And then other times it can be very sarcastic and mean, like, well, God bless you. There's ways that you can say this phrase. We're hitting Deuteronomy 33, and I know I've said this for a couple of weeks now, but this one is truth. These are the final words of Moses. Moses has been told, this is it, we're done, you are going to head on up. In fact, if you remember, we kind of skipped over last week with chapter 32, verses 48 and following, because we're going to, there's a lot of repeat in that with what's going to happen next week. So, he's given his sermons, he's brought in Joshua, he's told them, this Joshua is the one that is now going to be in charge, and he's giving more talks, and then you are almost here, like, trying to put a kid to bed at night. I don't know why it is that, you know, no one has a longer to-do list than a child about ready to go to bed. Like, there's now 20 things they have to get accomplished before they go to bed. That's how I feel with Moses. He's giving more and more speeches. Finally, God's like, okay, you get one more speech. Chapter 33 is one more speech. If you take a peek with 34, you see that there's nothing there in terms of dialogue that Moses is actually speaking. So these are, in fact, the final words of Moses. And I know this has been a crazy journey. I went back and looked. Do you remember when we started the book of Deuteronomy? Years ago. Yeah, that's what a lot of people are like, well, we have been in this for a while. But we actually haven't. We started this series on January 7th of this year. The very first Sunday in January is when we began the book of Deuteronomy. So I think we've done a semi-decent job. And so some of you, where are we heading to next? I'm pretty certain we're going into the book of 1 Timothy. Why the book of 1 Timothy? I have preached everything in the New Testament. And so what I want to do is go back and hit some of the earlier stuff that I preached, because it's all pretty bad. They were really terrible sermons, so I want to redo some of those so that you could be like, oh, now we actually get a much better exposition of this text. So that's where we're going to be heading. We've got this week, and then next week, Moses dies. As I said, I'm super excited. Never been more excited for someone to die. Moses is going to be it, and then we're going to go into some Advent themes, and then Christmas, and then starting in the new year, we'll be going into 1 Timothy. So Moses is now going to give a blessing. Now, do you have a little heading on under Moses blesses the tribe? I don't know if your Bibles have it. It shows a parallel passage. Yeah, Genesis 49. Yeah. So this is when the original blessing of the 12 tribes took place. And at that point, they weren't even 12 tribes. They were 12 kids. They were actual kids that were being blessed. And I did do it, and I won't bore you with the details, but I actually did put the two blessings side by side. I even went back and listened to the sermon that I preached on Genesis 49, got nothing out of it. It was a terrible sermon. Again, some of these sermons I have are really bad. But I put them side by side. I'm gonna prep you right now. The blessing that Moses gives to the 12 tribes is way better than the original blessing on the 12 kids. It's really surprising. I would have thought it had been different, especially since, remember last week, what is God saying? They're going to go into the promised land, and then they're going to break my covenant, and they're going to do all sorts of horrible things, and then I'm going to have to punish them, and then I'm going to have to send them into exile, and we have to wait until they get their redemption later on. You would think that after that, do they deserve a blessing? Do they deserve to be blessed by God? Do they feel like they deserve to be blessed? If I asked you, do you want to be blessed by God? How many of you would say yes, right? That seems right. How many of you think you deserve it? Right, so that's where we start. We're like, I don't know. Like, do I deserve it? So, all right, there we go, Vash. You're like, yes, because I play the sax and I'm awesome and this is great. But you also probably think I'm a child of God and I crave and desire God's blessing. Some people are like, I don't think I deserve it. Or I don't know if my future is really that good, or I've really made some poor choices. This is how I think the Israelite nation is probably thinking. They just got told how bad they're going to be and how they've been breaking the covenant all along. And so they might be sitting there going, I don't deserve this. And so what I want you today is that, this is going to sound a little weird, I want you to think that, yeah, God wants to bless me. Now again, don't be start praying to win the lottery. Nope, he ain't going to bless you that way. That'd be cool if he did, but he hasn't done it for me yet. Oh, it'd be great if he helped me with my future. It'd be great if I had a better car. There's a lot of material blessings we're always thinking about, but what we really want to think about is how will God bless us in a different way, in a spiritual way. And as we go through this, some of the blessings are like really good, and like, that's the one that I want. And if that's the case, I think there's nothing wrong to be praying for that. And then there's probably going to be some where you go, yeah, I don't deserve that one. That one's too good. And I don't want you to then all of a sudden feel like you're out of the running, so to speak. Because I think, based on what I've read, God often does the exact thing we need, even though it is the exact thing we don't deserve. And I can prove that especially on the first blessing that is given. It's going to start off with like a general blessing, and then it ends with a general blessing, and then the 12 tribes in between. And I think I laid out what I think maybe God is trying to tell with different groups of people. So maybe with some of these people, you'll fall into one of these categories. You're like, yeah, that's the one that I think I need to be asking for. But please know this. God has already decided that he does want your life to be blessed. He is not out to ruin you. He is not out to destroy you. All things work together for good for those who love and are called according to your purpose. And then as we go through the 12 tribes, for my scholars that love the nerds on some of these things, you're going to notice that it's a different number of the 12 tribes than is anywhere else in Scripture. And so there's a tribe missing. And it'd be curious, I'll see how you guys do if you're really noticing that. All right, Deuteronomy 33. This is the blessing that Moses, the man of God, pronounced on the Israelites before his death. He said, the Lord came from Sinai and dawned over them from Seir. He shone forth from Mount Paran. He came with myriads of holy ones from the south, from his mountain slopes. Surely it is you who love the people of God. All the holy ones are in your hand. At your feet they all bow down, and from you receive instruction, the law that Moses gave us, the possession of the assembly of Jacob. He was king over Jeshurun when the leaders of the people assembled along with the tribes of Israel. In the note on Jeshurun, that's the upright one. Here, I don't believe that he's actually using it tongue-in-cheek. Before it was, you're so upright, but you're really going to fail. But don't forget this, you are upright. Do you understand why? You are not the people of God because you are the upright ones. You are the upright ones because you already are the people of God. Do you see that? That's a huge thing that I've been doing really good lately, so I think I deserve to be blessed by God. Or I haven't been doing so well, and I'm not very upright, I deserve to be punished by God. That's really not how God operates. What he says is, you're my children, and I love you, and your spiritual life is the most important to me, so I will do whatever it takes to have you grow in your spiritual faith. So here are the blessings. I love the first one's Reuben. He's firstborn. This is a great blessing. Let Reuben live and not die, nor his men be few. All right. How do you like that as a blessing? Anyone want that one? Let me live and not die, nor let my, the people of my my group be few. Now, you have to go back, though, and understand, again, this is, it's the first guy that I think helps set the tone for the rest of them. Why is God saying just let them not die? Well, Reuben didn't really live very honorably in his life. You could go back. We're not going to go into the texts itself because they're rather graphic. But you can go back into the book of Genesis and read what Reuben did, and you would be like, that guy deserves death, and he deserves to not have any offspring, because if that's dad, then they're all going to be corrupted and bad, and you know what? That's not a good idea. And here, the very first blessing, let Reuben live. If you are so, and this is what I encourage, this is what I did with mine. I wrote these next to the blessings. If you really, really messed up, come back to this. God, let me live. Don't smite me dead. Thankfully, we know God doesn't do that. Like when you have massive mess ups, you're not just dead instantly, which is kind of a good thing, or else I'd be preaching to an empty church. What am I saying? I wouldn't even be preaching. Right? I would be gone too. Yeah, we've all messed up. If you are someone who is struggling with a mess up, a massive one, God is not interested in snuffing out your smoldering wick. He is not interested in taking you being bruised and snap you in half. These are promises that God made, and they're really super important. So Reuben, I really like this one. All right. And then he talks about Judah. Now, of course, we love Judah. Judah is one of those guys that we know this is where the Messiah, the line of Jesus, comes through. Judah is the southern kingdom. And because of that, there seems to be a little bit more faithfulness to God, especially when years and years and years later, when there's the northern kingdom, the southern kingdom, Judah kind of stays with it a little bit better. So Judah, this is what he said about Judah. Hear, O Lord, the cry of Judah. Bring him to his people. With his own hands, he defends his cause. Obey his help against his foes. So this is what I wrote mine. Do you feel like you're in a battle? Because that's what Judah seems to be constantly warring. Like, are you constantly fighting something? Maybe you're fighting a temptation. Maybe you're fighting your reputation. Maybe you're fighting against a family member. And you don't want to destroy others, but you yourself also need some defense. And Moses, as he's blessing Judah, says, God, come to their aid. Help them. So if you've been in a battle and you're really struggling, and I also get the sense from this, like, are you tired? I think that's going to come up again, but when you're fighting a lot, when you're feeling like every day is just a struggle, may you receive the blessing of Judah, and may God come to your aid, stand alongside of you, and fulfill your cause. All right, so we got Judah. All right, my Bible scholars, you're writing down the 12 tribes. Let's see, here we go, because this one's a little strange. About Levi. Wait a second. Levi? I thought Levi wasn't counted amongst the 12 tribes. Well, he is counted amongst the 12 tribes, but then you have to do something very special with the kids of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh. So we'll keep watching this and see. What is God going to say to those people who are trying to live their lives in service to God? Now, I do think that this would really specifically apply for those that are going into some sort of ministry aspect, whether it's going to be a worship leader or a DCE or a pastor, or you're going to be a layperson that just wants to serve God and the church. It's pretty impressive. He gets one of the more longer blessings. So if you want better blessings by God, just serve him a little bit more and that'll be great. No, don't do that. That's not the way to do things. But here's about Levi. He said, your Thummim and Urim belong to the man you favored. That's the white and black rock, we think. That's how they cast lots to make binary decisions. Like, should we go into battle? And then you would cast the lot and God would answer in that way. A little bit like a coin flip nowadays, though I would highly not recommend you making your decisions like, should I marry my girlfriend? Ching! No. Well, sorry, honey. The coin has spoken. That might not be, or the little magic eight ball, like, yes, will I ever marry in the future? And then the little thing pops up. Most likely not, right? Yeah. Or ask again tomorrow. This was how some of those binary decisions, because the way God led them, and they needed this assurance that God was going to be with them and talk to them and help them. Now we have something even better. We have God's word, like in its completeness, plus we also have the benefit of the Holy Spirit always with us, talking to us, helping us. So, but these people were the ones that were the discerners of God's will. And then you tested him at Massah, you contended him with him at the waters of Meribah. That was the fight about water coming from a rock, and all the people were like, we hate it here, this is horrible, you're a horrible pastor, you're horrible people, we hate you Moses, we hate you Miriam, we hate you Aaron, we hate all of you Levites, you are all terrible people. That's what sometimes happens. He said of his father and his mother, I have no regard for them. He did not recognize his brothers or acknowledge his own children, but he watched over your word and guided your covenant. I don't know if you understand what it means when some people devote themselves to a full-time service of God, especially in the church setting, that oftentimes the people who pay the biggest price is the family. Yeah. I mean, that's what he's saying. He's like, he had no regard for his father and mother. His own children, he didn't really, like, take care of. He didn't recognize his own brothers. Now, again, please don't do that. I have done everything in my power to make sure that when I teach and I'm leading, that my kids don't get the bad end. But there's times, Easter and Christmas, yeah, I often, like, Christmas Eve, guess what? I've got to do a worship service on Christmas Eve. Easter, yeah, I got to lead and do all that stuff, and then after Easter service, then we get to do it. Mother's Day, I have to work on Mother's Day. Every single Mother's Day, I got to work. And who gets the short end? Like, I don't wake up and make her pancakes or orange juice or anything like that, because guess what? I got to get to church, and I got to get some stuff done. The sacrifices that some people make to serve God. So that's why I try to lift up, especially my pre-SEM students, my DCE students, teachers, parish musicians. You all have a very difficult road ahead of you. And I don't want you to be shy about it, but you understand that you stepping into that role is something totally different. I know of pastors who have been attacked by their churches. I know one specifically who actually considered taking his own life because the church wasn't working really well. He was getting yelled at by leaders in the church all the time. Things weren't going really good. His health wasn't that good. So he actually contemplated suicide. So again, from the bottom of my heart, I love working here, because you are all such a blessing to me. Thank you for loving my wife. Super important, because if she's happy, I'm happy. And thank you for loving my boys. Mark Thomas, I know he's loud in the back. You know, sometimes it's a little noisy back there for you, Brenda, but you know, you do a great job. And you love middle son who's in Florida, and you love Joshua. Thank you for accepting them, because they actually get a lot less of me because of how I've dedicated. So if something happens and God takes you away from Searchlight and you're elsewhere, can I just say, continue to pray for your pastor, love your pastor, love the pastor's wives, white wives. Then sorry, I was already moving to kids and I'm like, plural. Yeah, love, if he has multiple wives, you've stepped into a wrong church and you need to move to a little bit different church, and that would be good. Love the pastor's wife, singular, and then love the pastor's kids. They they take a lot. When there's an emergency at the church, I leave. If you have a crisis, I drop everything. When teenagers have crises, Heather, she'll be like, I got to go. Or, hold on a second, I got to talk to someone. This is what we do. And we don't say begrudgingly, because I'll tell you this, being a pastor has just been, for me, one of the greatest things. Last night, we had a really wonderful time. This is the second year that I did it. I invited pre-sem students over to my house, and then I invite some local pastors, and we all just sit around. We eat some barbecue, which is really wonderful, and we just talk. And all of these guys, these five guys that came over, were just really interested in what does it mean to be a pastor? What is it like? How do you run things? It was very fascinating. We told all of them, it's hard. It really is. But when God gives you a blessing like this, this is what he's going to, this incredible blessing. So he's still just talking about them. And then he also talks about what they teach. Verse 10, he teaches your precepts to Jacob and your law to Israel. He offers incense before you and whole burnt offerings on your altar. He's the guy that's praying for you. He's the guy that's leading worship. He's trying to make sure that you see Jesus, you see God in everything that's going on. This is what he's going to do. So here is the blessing for anyone that is going into church work or even serves in some type of a capacity for God and his people. This is what he says. Bless all his skills, O Lord, and be pleased with the works of his hands. I tell you, some of the most nervous people in the world are pastors and teachers and DCEs and music ministers, because we're always wondering, are we doing it right? Are we doing it good? You have no idea how many times I've preached a sermon, and it was darn near one of the best sermons I've ever preached. And all of you be like, yeah, that was good. That was okay. That was nice. And then other times when I preach a sermon and it's terrible. It was a Saturday night special. I tried, just didn't have enough time, and then I preached that, and some of you come out afterwards going, that changed my life. And I can tell you this, you go ask a pastor, any pastor, ask him the same thing, like, have you ever preached, and you thought it was the worst sermon ever, and then God still uses it? That's what we pray for. When I don't do very well, I still pray that God takes what I give and still uses it. He takes the five loaves. He takes the two fish. And he somehow feeds mysteriously and supernaturally his people. And I always go back to Jonah, who preached the worst sermon in all of human history, and an entire nation repented. So if God can do that, then he can take my 45-minute sermons, which would be shorter if you wouldn't talk so much, and do some great stuff with. When we were talking to the pre-sem students, they were like, wait, you preach 45 minutes? And then a local pastor was like, wait, no. Well, that's got to be like your record, right? No, about average 45. He's like, what's your record? And I went, 66 minutes. So start timing me now. This will be great. I don't think I'm going to get anywhere close to it. But then I love the second half of this blessing. Smite the loins of those who rise up against him. Strike his foes till they rise no more. Yes, pastors. No, we don't pray for that. Trust me. I think in other churches, there's certain groups of people that can sometimes be problematic. Again, I go back to this friend of mine who really, really struggled because he had people telling him that the failure of the church as it was kind of spiraling down was all his fault. They told him he was a horrible, horrible, not just a horrible pastor, but a horrible human being. And I remember sending him a message. I'm like, you are not. God loves you. God will take what you give, and God will do great things. So thank you again for being an amazing congregation. I love you all. All right, so that's Levi. Let's get to the next one. Benjamin. Benjamin, he said. This one I think is more for the tired people, but it will also be an allusion to a New Testament disciple. And let's see if you can find out which disciple that is. About Benjamin, Let the beloved of the Lord rest secure in him, for he shields him all day long, and the one the Lord loves rests between his shoulders. Yeah, who said that? John? Yeah, John. Right, because where was John during that Passover meal? He was resting in between Jesus' shoulders. He said he was leaning upon his chest. And also John's nickname, I think it's fun that it's his nickname for himself, the one whom Jesus loved. And I've always had a problem with, do you have a problem with that one? Like, oh, I'm the one who Jesus loved, yes. Well, I don't think it was, I'm the one that Jesus loved, and so he hates the rest of you. Because out of curiosity, could you say that about yourself? Are you the one that Jesus loves? Yeah. And some of you are tired. Some of you are weary. Some of you are hurting. And you're like, all I would love to do is rest in the arms of God and know of his love for me. I think this happens throughout our life. I think this especially happens to those who are nearing the end of their life. So many times when I've talked to them, you know what they say? I'm tired. I want to go home. I want to be with Jesus. Yeah. But also for you, if you've been really, really striving, maybe you've been trying to impress God a lot, or maybe you've just been having this kind of flurry of activity. I'm going to do this. 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 And you're just like, I need to take a rest. God does not hate you for taking a rest or taking a break. And you can always go back to that great story where Jesus is having a little bit of a party, and then there's these two women. And, of course, one of the women is, like, running around, and she's cooking and cleaning and baking. And what is she yelling at her sister? What is her sister doing? Just sitting there hanging out with Jesus. And I love it because don't we do that? Hey, Jesus, like, I'm over here working for you, and she's, like, doing nothing. Like, can you, like, tell her to get up and, like, I don't know, like, clean the toilet or, you know, make some cookies, please, anything. And what does Jesus say? She's chosen something really good. She's chosen to rest in me. And I'm not going to take that away from her. I know that a lot of us believe that our worth is wrapped up in our production. And for some of you who are super, super spiritual, your worth is wrapped up in your spiritual production. How many Bible passages did you read? How many hours did you pray? How many weeks in a row have you come to listen to me drone on and on and on? How many have been going to church since you were a baby? And you're like, I need to keep my little star chart going, right? Yeah. Oh, I remember the star chart. We'd show up to church. Oh, Mark, you made it to church. Here's a little star. I'm like, I got a star. That means I'm good. I'm going to come to church again. Get another star. Mom, I'm throwing up, but I got to go to church because I got to get a star. So I go to church, and then I infect all the other kids, and then they all die. No, they don't die. And they don't get their stars the next. We think our worth is in our production, our spiritual production. Take a break. Take a rest. Just being with God is wonderful. How many of you, when you start to pray, have a hard time like, I only got so much to say? I feel that way sometimes. I've got a limited amount of vocabulary. I'm like, so I pray and I'm like, all right, I've given my stuff to God, and so what do I say? Amen. All right, I'm done. Do you know that it's just okay to sit in silence with God and just allow him to love you? And as you're leaning your head upon his chest, you just feel this heartbeat of God, and you just feel like everything's going to be okay. If you are tired, I pray that you have that blessing. What a wonderful blessing for Benjamin, the beloved of the Lord. All right, we got now Joseph. Okay, so this is interesting. So typically, when we have Levi, we then have Joseph, and it's not split out in Ephraim and Manasseh, but it's going to be interesting because Ephraim and Manasseh both get mentioned. And so We'll see how this one, they kind of combine them, but really they're actually split out because they mention them. Let's find out about this blessing that God gives. I think this is going to be for those who feel like you're constantly living in scarcity. And again, maybe that's monetarily. Maybe you feel like I'm just monetarily living in scarcity. Maybe you feel that way just with relationships. Man, I'm all alone, and I've got scarce relationships. Or you just feel like time. Time is fleeting. I never have enough time. If you're living in scarcity, this is what I'm praying for you. May the Lord bless this land with the precious dew from heaven above and with the deep waters that lie below. With the best the sun brings forth and the finest the moon can yield. With the choicest gifts of the ancient mountains and the fruitfulness of the everlasting hills. With the best gifts of the earth and its fullness, and the favor of him who dwelt in the burning bush, let all these rest on the head of Joseph, on the brow of the prince among his brothers. In majesty, he is like a firstborn bull. His horns are the horns of a wild ox. A little scary here with them. He will gore the nations, even those to the ends of the earth. Such are the 10,000s of Ephraim, such are the thousands of Manasseh. If you're living in scarcity and it's difficult and it's challenging, I pray that you receive that blessing, that God would rest upon your head everything that he wants to give to you. I know at times it's like, man, I don't want what I have, I want something else. Just remember that on the brow of Jesus Christ rested a crown of thorns that he did not want, but he gladly took, so that you and I would receive the crown of life. All right, about Zebulun. This one was a tough one because Zebulun gets lumped in with Issachar, right? Everyone knows who Issachar is, right? He's one of the really popular 12 tribes of Israel. No, he's just another tribe. We really don't know much, and the blessing is really weird. So I'm just going to tell you, rejoice, Zebulun, in your going out, and you, Issachar, in your tents. They will summon peoples to the mountains and there offer sacrifices of righteousness. They will feast on the abundance of the seas, on the treasures hidden in the sand. Now, this might be in reference, I think, to two things. Number one is it sounds like they're the worshipers of God, right? They invite people like, hey, I'm worshiping God. You got to come and worship God. Come and be a part of this. They're the ones that are great in invitations and making sure people are being a part of it. But I did find something else out that I thought was interesting. This is the only tribe that God says, rejoice. Who are the people that need to rejoice the most? I think the people that are depressed. God wants to give you a spirit of rejoicing even when things are really, really hard or really, really sad. I've been praying that this week for people that I know that are really struggling under some depressing attitudes and depressing life situations and circumstances. And I pray that you would still be able to rise and rejoice. You would still be able to come to church and hear what God has to say and maybe just take you ever so briefly out of your doldrums and into God's presence so that you can smile and rejoice. Zebulun and Issachar. All right. Now, verse 20 about Gad. Gad. What's the guy's name? Joshua Gad, he's the voice of the snowman in Frozen, Let It Go. Egad, that's his brother, Egad, yeah. Yeah. And then the other brother is Omai. No, don't do that, no. Well, I don't have Diane or Rich to boo me. Oh my gosh, I could keep going for hours on this. This is fantastic. No, no. All right, Hannah wants me to move on. All right, okay. Gad. This guy also gets a lot of stuff. I think based on this, this would be for a lot of those people that find themselves in leadership positions. Out of curiosity, raise your hand if you think you're in a leadership position. Okay, raise your hand if you have kids. Okay, raise your hand if you have a position in leadership. Yeah, okay, now we're getting, yeah. If you are a parent, you are in a position of leadership. If you're a teacher, you're in a position of leadership. If you are a manager, you're in a position of leadership. I think there's more leaders out there, and I don't know, maybe this applies to you. Here's about Gad. Blessed is he who enlarges Gad's domain. Gad lives there like a lion, tearing at arm or head. He chose the best land for himself. The leader's portion was kept for him. When the heads of the people assembled, he carried out the Lord's righteous will and his judgments concerning Israel. So Gad is one, the people that are on the front lines doing stuff, people that are leading stuff. I think that's one of the reasons why we will always and continually pray for our leaders. Our local leaders are important. Mayors, people on city councils, people on governing boards of schools, super important. Governors, super important. We are praying for them. They are out in the front doing stuff. And we pray for senators, and we pray for representatives, and we pray for presidents. This is really important. And then if you are someone who is in this position of leadership and you find yourself leading other people, I pray that that you will carry out the Lord's righteous will. It's actually something that I usually tell young pastors because it's really easy, especially when we graduate seminary. I don't know if you understand this. The moment we graduate seminary, we know everything. And it's fantastic. And I'm like, well, okay, you may think you know everything, but always and always and always go back to God. Return to him for his knowledge and his will. Verse 22, Dan, I feel sorry for Dan. Like, Dan doesn't get much. Dan is a lion's cub springing out of Bashan. Yeah. Dan is the key. Yeah, there's this kind of this essence, yeah, that's there. I think that this is especially important for all of our young people, our kids. And this would then also apply, I think, for new converts. Like, you know, you always like, do you ever just watch videos of young animals, right? They're just so cute, aren't they? Except for cats. They're just so, I'm just kidding. We love the cats too. But like little cubs, little lion cubs, like, oh, look at that. It's Simba. Oh, yay. That's wonderful, right? And they're cute. And then they grow up and then they become weird and strange and eat people. But when they're younger, it's kind of cute. And I think that this is God also trying to say, because that's why I love when young people come and they're like, Pastor Manning, I got this great idea. We're going to do this. And I'm like, oh, it's the stupidest idea I've ever heard. That sounds great. Let's give that a try and see if that works. Man, I am all for it. Because I used to be the young whelp. I found out I'm not the young guy anymore. It's depressing. Last year, I went to an ordination, and they did this way they do it in our area is we line up with the one that is about to be ordained is first, and then we line up in what year we graduated from seminary. So routinely, like, I was always up at the front. I want to be up at the front. I'm the young people. And they're like, all right, how about 2022? Oh, well, okay, I'll step back. How about 2021, 2020, 19, 18, 17, 16? And I'm going back, and all of a sudden I look, there's only two other guys behind me. They're the old guys. How did I end up? Yeah, so that's why I love young people. You keep things vibrant and alive. You annoy me a lot of times, but let me tell you, I love you. Be that. Because I was that. I used to, oh my gosh. People hated me. It was funny. So Dan, you're a lion's cub. Springing out of Bashan. Like the idea is like you've got a lot of energy and stuff. Yeah. So yeah, if you have kids and you have energy, man, I love them. Bring them to church. There's nothing better than that. All right, Naphtali is abounding with the favor of the Lord and is full of his blessing. He will inherit southward to the lake. Again, a tough one, but the way that this language works, this to me sounds like parents. May you abound with the favor of the Lord and be full of... Having a kid is a great blessing of the Lord. And so let that be a blessing unto you. Lord, I want to abound in your favor. And then Asher, the last one. I think these are the ones when you feel weak. Do you ever feel like, you know, okay, maybe I didn't like do a super big bad mess up. And maybe I'm not like super, super tired. But let me tell you, I feel pretty weak and ineffective as a Christian. You know, this little light of mine, I'm going to let my little 40-watt bulb shine. And I look around and there's someone with a 60-watt and there's a 100-watt and that dude's got an LED light that's just like, bah! I don't feel very good. If you feel like that, this I think is going to be a great blessing for you. Most blessed of sons is Asher. Let him be favored by his brothers and let him bathe his feet in oil. The bolts of your gates will be iron and bronze, and your strength will equal your days. You hear I say, like when you're feeling weak, God is the one that then strengthens us. And if you, in your strength, try to do a lot for God, you will become weak. It's just the way it is. That's the economy of God. That's why that song still works. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yeah. There's nothing better than being strong in God. Not because I think it's, you know, a rush or anything, but it's a reminder that when we are in God, he provides the strength. All right, a quick little Bible thing. Which tribe is missing? Simeon, who said that? Oh, Marcy. By the way, my sister is here, so that's why I haven't made any cracks about my family lately. So, Marcy, yeah, Simeon is missing. Why is Simeon missing? There is no really good theological reason for that. I tried to look, but most people believe that the tribe of Simeon is, if you take a look at old maps, he is located fully and completely in the tribe of Judah in the southern kingdom. So that's why Simeon's gone, but that's why we had all the other ones listed. And if you are thinking to yourself, I don't know. I don't know if any of those blessings hit you. Like, man, that's what I want to pray for. Man, I'd really love God to bless me in that way. Yeah. If none of those hit you, then here's a general blessing. There is no one like the God of Jeshurun who rides on the heavens to help you and on the clouds in his majesty. The eternal God is your refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. He will drive out your enemy before you, saying, destroy him. So Israel will live in safety alone. Jacob's spring is secure in a land of grain and new wine, where the heavens drop dew. Final words of Moses. Blessed are you, O Israel. Who is like you? A people saved by the Lord. He is your shield and helper and your glorious sword. Your enemies will cower before you, and you will trample down their high places. May today you hear someone sneeze. And when you do, you say, God bless you. And maybe, just maybe, that'll hit just a little bit different. Jesus talked about it with his disciples. He says, as you go, you're going to speak blessings. And if it's not received, it's going to then come back to you. There's this physicality of the blessing of God. And what I pray for all of you is that God would bless each and every one of you. And that was not a quote from a Christmas movie. But we could do it. May God bless us. Everyone, thank you. The only one I caught, where is everybody? That was like a good moving ending. All right, let's pray. Gracious Lord.